Part A.
One, directions. You'll hear 10 short conversations between two speakers. At the end of each conversation, you'll hear a question about what was said. Listen carefully and decide which of the four choices is the best answer to the question you have heard.
1. When shall we start our work, Jan?
At 9. But we must hurry, for we have to finish everything before 3 in the afternoon.
For how long will they work?
2. Would you like to hear the latest jazz record?
Sure. It has one of my favorite songs.
What are they doing?
3. The box looks very heavy. Would you like me to carry it for you?
Oh, no, I can manage. Thanks anyway.
How does the woman respond?
4. I think we'd better paint our house yellow.
Why not white?
What does the woman mean?
5. I heard you've caught a bad cold. How are you feeling today?
Can't complain. At least I'm out of bed.
How is the man today?
6. Believe it or not, Jim has come out of the accident alive.
That's true, but his bike is a total wreck, you know.
What do you learn from the conversation?
7. Jane, have you met Andrew recently?
Oh, yes. To my surprise, he's no longer the man he was 2 years ago.
What does the woman mean?
8. Steve didn't have a chance of winning a gold medal at the Olympics.
What a shame, but he'd done his best.
What do you learn from the conversation?
9. The show on the ancient costume was pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting? I could spend hours there.
What did you know about the woman?
10. Be careful, John. That car is speeding.
You have to keep an eye out for motorcycles, too.
What does the man mean?
Part B.
Directions. In this part, you'll hear a passage 3 times. When it is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. Then listen to the passage for the 2nd time and fill in the blanks numbered 11 to 17 with the exact words you've just heard. For blanks numbered from 18 to 20, fill in the missing information. You can either use the exact words you've just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, check your answers when the passage is read for the 3rd time.
The word sport first meant something that people did in their free time. Later, it often meant hunting wild animals and birds. About 100 years ago, the word was first used for organized games. This is the usual meaning of the word today. People spend a lot of their time playing football, basketball, tennis, and many other sports. Such people play sports because they want to. A few people are paid for the sports they play. These people are called professional sportsmen. They may be sportsmen for only a few years, but during that time, the best ones can earn a lot of money. For example, a professional footballer in England earns more than £3,000 a year. The stars earn a lot more. International golf and tennis champions can make more than 50,000 pounds a year. Of course, only few sportsmen can earn as much money as that. It is only possible in sports for individuals like golf, tennis, and motor racing. Perhaps the most surprising thing about sportsmen and money is that the stars can earn more money from advertising than from playing their sports. An advertisement for sportswear does not simply say, "Buy our things." It says, "Buy the same shirt and shoes as." Famous sportsmen can even advertise things like watches and food. They allow the companies to use their names or a photograph of them, and they are paid for this. Sports are no longer just something for people's spare time. The word sport first meant something that people did in their free time. Later, it often meant hunting wild animals and birds. About 100 years ago, the word was first used for organized games. This is the usual meaning of the word today. People spend a lot of their time playing football, basketball, tennis, and many other sports. Such people play sports because they want to. A few people are paid for the sports they play. These people are called professional sportsmen. They may be sportsmen for only a few years, but during that time, the best ones can earn a lot of money. For example, a professional footballer in England earns more than 3,000 pounds a year. The stars earn a lot more. International golf and tennis champions can make more than 50,000 pounds a year. Of course, only few sportsmen can earn as much money as that. It is only possible in sports for individuals like golf, tennis, and motor racing. Perhaps the most surprising thing about sportsmen and money is that the stars can earn more money from advertising than from playing their sports. An advertisement for sportswear does not simply say, "Buy our things." It says, "Buy the same shirt and shoes as." Famous sportsmen can even advertise things like watches and food. They allow the companies to use their names or a photograph of them, and they are paid for this. Sports are no longer just something for people's spare time. The word sport first meant something that people did in their free time. Later, it often meant hunting wild animals and birds. About 100 years ago, the word was first used for organized games. This is the usual meaning of the word today. People spend a lot of their time playing football, basketball, tennis, and many other sports. Such people play sports because they want to. A few people are paid for the sports they play. These people are called professional sportsmen. They may be sportsmen for only a few years, but during that time, the best ones can earn a lot of money. For example, a professional footballer in England earns more than 3,000 pounds a year. The stars earn a lot more. International golf and tennis champions can make more than 50,000 pounds a year. Of course, only few sportsmen can earn as much money as that. It is only possible in sports for individuals like golf, tennis, and motor racing. Perhaps the most surprising thing about sportsmen and money is that the stars can earn more money from advertising than from playing their sports. An advertisement for sportswear does not simply say, "Buy our things." It says, "Buy the same shirt and shoes as." Famous sportsmen can even advertise things like watches and food. They allow the companies to use their names or a photograph of them, and they are paid for this. Sports are no longer just something for people's spare time.
Part C.
Directions. You're going to hear three short passages. Each will be read only once. At the end of each passage, you'll hear some questions. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark your answer.
Passage 1.
Scientists are trying to design some small cars that may someday take the place of today's big automobiles. If everyone drives such cars in the future, there will be less pollution in the air. There will also be more space for parking cars in cities, and the streets will be less crowded. Three such cars can fit in the space that is now needed for one car of the usual size. The little cars will cost much less to own and to drive. Driving will be safer, too, as these little cars can go only 65 kilometers per hour. The little cars of the future will be fine for getting around the city, but they will not be useful for long trips. Little cars which are powered by gasoline will go 450 kilometers before needing to stop for more gasoline. If big cars are still used along with the small ones, two sets of roads will be needed in the future. Some roads will be used for the big, fast cars, and other roads will be needed for the slower, small ones. Questions 21 to 23 are based on the passage you've just heard.
Question number 21. What are some scientists doing now?
Question number 22. What are the advantages of such little cars?
Question number 23. What can be inferred from the passage?
Passage 2.
Last year, my friends and I went climbing in the Himalayas. We followed an unhurried routine. Every day we would get up at 5:30 a.m., have a cup of tea, and be on the move after 6. Our kitchen staff would go ahead to select a suitable place for breakfast. Arriving at some pleasant stream after 2 or 3 hours, we would make a long stop, and while the cook was making the fire and preparing our breakfast, some of us would swim and rest. Some would read and write. Others would watch birds or catch butterflies and insects. We would reach camp in the early afternoon so that we would have plenty of time to settle in, write diaries and reports for newspapers, and discuss future plans. Our climbs, as well as the leisure hours in camp, helped to form firm friendship. Through comparing our very different backgrounds and interests, and through discussing our experiences, we soon came to appreciate one another. At the same time, we also made friends with our native guides, an arrangement which seemed to give mutual pleasure in our Himalayan travel was that each man was cared for by a faithful follower. This person would bring him his tea in the morning, lay out his sleeping bag at night, help to carry his personal belongings, and encourage him all the way whenever we face difficulties and danger.
Questions 24 to 26 are based on the passage you've just heard. Question number 24. What would the mountaineers do soon after they got up?
Question number 25. Which of the following was not mentioned as one of the things they did during the long stop in the morning?
Question number 26. What did the native guides do to help the members of the team during the trip?
Passage 3. Mr. Wilmot was born in a little village near the coast and had gone to school in the nearest seaside town. But he was not a lover of the sea. Even when walking along the sands, he was afraid of being cut off by the tide. Mr. Wilmot was not a very good swimmer, so perhaps this was why he disliked the sea. After working for some years in London, Mr. Wilmot was transferred to a town near the coast and, of course, the family often made trips to the beach. One day his children asked him to take them out into the bay in a boat. The sun shone brightly. There was little wind and the water was calm. So Mr. Wilmot hired a boat and with his two children rowed out into the bay. They went farther than they had intended, past the cliff and out into the open sea. At first all went well, but when they decided to turn back, they found themselves faced with difficulties. A strong wind had sprung up and the currents were rather dangerous. Mr. Wilmot rowed hard, but it seemed they were making little progress. The children were waving to attract the attention of the people on the beach. Just then, a motorboat appeared from the direction of the bay. Their trouble had been noticed, and the motorboat had come to their rescue. A rope was soon attached, and their boat was pulled back round the cliff to the shore. Mr. Wilmot's dislike of the sea became even stronger after this experience.
Questions 27 to 30 are based on the passage you've just heard.
Question number 27. Why was Mr. Wilmot nervous about walking along the sand?
Question number 28. What seemed to be the reason for Mr. Wilmot's dislike of the sea?
Question number 29. Why did Mr. Wilmot agree to take his children out into the bay?
Question number 30. What can't you infer from the story?
This is the end of the test.